Ah, here we go again. It's the news, according to me. Good Thursday morning. It is Thursday morning, July 3rd, the day before Independence Day. It's day, Independence Day Eve, 9.04 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Actually, 9.05 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am currently in Syracuse, New York this morning. Tomorrow I will be in Jacksonville, Florida tomorrow morning, and it's going to be a probably going to be a little bit warm down there. Let's just say, and I'm probably going to be let me check something here real quick. What time do I actually? Let's see. I got all that to do, and then I got this to do. I'm there most of the day, actually, on Friday. So I'll be tomorrow. And then I will be actually watching the fireworks in Greenville, Spartanburg on Independence Day night that evening. Hopefully, anyway, that's the plan. Today's going to be a crazy day. I have to go in and out of DCA, Reagan National. And that usually, that can end up being a who knows what. Hopefully I will end up in Jacksonville, Florida before the night is over. So I have a conundrum. It's not a conundrum. I have a crisis here I have to deal with today. I drank all my sweet tea yesterday. I can't believe how much sweet tea I drank yesterday. I had two cups, big cups full. I also picked up a cup of tea at Culver's when I had lunch at Culver's. Before I go to the airport, so I just grab a bite to eat, just grab a sandwich, and grab a sweet tea. Of course, get the meal because basically I could have just got the sandwich. I guess that would have been the one way to do it. But it's the better value deal. Of course, that's what they convince you, is that if you get the sandwich with fries and a drink, it's a better value, because basically you get, if you're going to get the fries and a sandwich, which I probably wouldn't get the fries, probably should have just got the sandwich, because that forces me into, well, I'll just get a meal, because I get a free drink that way. Because if you just buy them separately, it would cost you more. And so I'm not sure if that value meal thing adds up anymore. I need to do the math on that. It used to be that when you'd get a sandwich, you could get fries and a drink for like a dollar more or something. It wasn't that much more. Of course, this is back when sandwich was, I just remember my first eye-opening illumination moment. I had a part-time job in high school, and I went out with some buddies of mine, and I saw that I think it was a Burger King or something, and I realized that I could get a cheeseburger for 45 cents or whatever it was. And it just, all of a sudden, I don't know why I had thought that I couldn't afford anything. Of course, I was making money. I had a part-time job. I was getting paid. I had a car payment, and I had to pay insurance and that kind of stuff on the car. But because, you know, I had to have a car to get back and forth to work. So it's, you know, so now you're a slave to the car. So now you have to work to keep the car. So I made a bad choice there, because I could have bought a car with cash. And in fact, there was a car, I had a choice. There was a choice before me. And this guy was going to sell me a car for $300. Or I could buy my brother's Blazer. I had to get a loan for it. For $2,000. I think it was $2,200, something like that. I bought it. And I bought the Blazer. It was a cool truck. It was a convertible Blazer, the full size 1972. No, it's 1971. 71 Blazer, four wheel drive, very nice vehicle. Had some issues. Had a couple little issues. I mean, looking back on it, it was a great car and vehicle. So I drove that thing for a while. I had it in high school, my first vehicle. I actually bought it before I even turned 16, or I should say before I was old enough to drive. I was 15, actually, when I bought it. And ended up, of course, had a part-time job, and I had to find out how to get back and forth to work for a while in order to pay the thing off. But it worked out very well, and it was. However, I was in debt, and you know, regardless of what kind of vehicle you have, you're going to have problems with it. I had a flat tire, I had some other things. I put tires, newer tires on it, two tires and wheels, of course, because I had to do that. And because you're a kid, you think that's important stuff. And did all that. I spent more on the tires and wheels than I would have paid for the other car. Cash outright. Now the other car was a project car. It had a lot of issues. Probably would have had broken down on me several times and had a lot of issues with it. But at the same time, it was one of those things where it probably would have been a lot easier to just buy that car, not have to work. I could have done a lot more things in school. I couldn't be in wrestling anymore. I couldn't do certain sports and certain activities because every day after school I had to go to work. Not every day. That's Wednesday. I didn't have to go to work. It was Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and then on Saturday mornings I had to work. So that whole issue, became, it was very intrusive in my life. And from that point on, I was almost always in debt after that, ever since then. So it was starting a trend in my life that was a problem. How did I get off on this subject? I was going to talk about my chai here, and I ended up off in this direction. It's one of those things where I'd like to go back and review how I got to this point. How did I get to this in this point of the subject here, in this point of the show? Anyway, and my listeners probably remember. They're probably hanging on the edge of their seat, going, "Oh, what? Where's he going with that? That's interesting. Oh, that's yeah. What? Now he's just going to stop and go somewhere else." And I'm like, I need to like put a pin in some things here, take notes while I'm talking. So the point being, people do this kind of thing. They get into debt. They go down this road, not realizing how that changes things in your life. And it's not that it's all necessarily evil or bad, but it does significantly alter your freedom, your ability to, your liberty. However, you can, people on the street who are just living with everything that they own in a shopping cart, they have an extreme amount of liberty. They can do, they don't have any appointments. You ask them, "Hey, you want to come over here?" "Sure, yeah." "You want to go over there?" "Oh, sure, I'm going to go over there." "What are you going to do today?" "I'm just going to walk around over there." I might walk around over there. They don't have any agenda. They don't have anybody telling them what to do. And it's, it's complete liberty within responsibility. You can't hurt somebody else. Well, you can, but you face the consequences of that. But it's one of those things where there's extreme liberty and there's compromises that we make. And those compromises, you have to give up part of your, life. I was listening to this thing today about this guy who's, we believe this lie where we have to live, we live 60 years and, or we work 60 years to do this, and we lose time with our family, we lose time with all this, and we give it all up so that we can have the last 10 years of our life and, with our poor health squandering away just so we can retire and enjoy life the last 10 years of our life. That's going to be the most miserable time of our life. First of all, no. Work is a part. Work and discipline are a part. Granted, I think too many people fall into this trap of just going through the motions and doing what society tells us to do, and we just kind of do what we got to do. You get a good job. Supposedly, what any job you get is supposed to supply you with your with what everybody else has. You're supposed to have the same thing everybody else has. If you get a job, picking up dog poop, and which actually is a good paying job, by the way. If you start a business picking up dog poop out of people's yards, you will probably become a very rich person very quickly. The people will pay a lot of money for that. Now you have the, let's say you get a job. I will call it a menial job. It's not to be derogatory, just a job that doesn't pay well. That's not that, it's an unskilled labor, a very low paying job. Let's say you do that. And you expect for some reason to be able to afford everything else. The BMW that you got down the street has, of course, not if he has a BMW, he's evil. He's an evil person because he has a BMW. It's not the case at all. But it's where people go. Well, that person, he must be evil because he's rich and he's just selfish. because he has a BMW. And it's first of all, BMWs are not all they're cracked up to be. I mean, they're still a car. It's just a vehicle, just an issue. You know, just one more thing you got to take care of, and it costs more to take care of them, and all this. It's a status symbol for most people. It is a fine motor car. Don't get me wrong. It's a fun to drive vehicle. But it's not necessarily going to do anything different than a Chevy, you know, Neon. It's going to get you from point A to point B. You may not, you know, enjoy it as much. May not be as comfortable. You may not get there. But it's going to do the same thing that the BMW can do. In fact, when you go to get it fixed, it's going to be very easy to find parts for it, probably. Whereas the BMW is going to be a little bit more of an issue. It's a little more of an intricate, complicated car. However, the driving experience, all those things, now, Dave Ramsey puts it very well. He says, "Are you going to buy a car? If you were going to buy a car, if you would buy that car and nobody else would ever see or know that you had it, would you still buy the car?" You know, if you just had a track out back that you could drive the thing and nobody could ever see it, nobody could ever even know, you can't even tell them or show them a picture of the thing, would you still buy the car? And I think that's a good point, because a lot of people do buy cars because of what other people will think about them when they're driving them. And that's, I think that's an important clarification, or it's an important factor to take in when you're purchasing a car. Now, you know, I don't want to drive around in a car. I don't want to show up at somebody's house with a car that's all duct taped together and has all kinds of issues. There are some things that you just, you know, it doesn't look safe. Doesn't look, you know, you come down the road and everybody's concerned about, you know, they're pulling their kids off the sidewalk because it's one of those things where you don't want to clutter up the environment or you know, uglify the environment either. At the same time, you know, if you do have an older car, keep it clean, keep it looking good, have some responsibility. Now, most of my cars are older. I don't know that I have a car that's less than 10 years old, actually. My wife's car is probably the closest to that, but it's 10 years old. It's a 2015, and it's 2025 now, so I think it's 10 years old. My car is... which is actually back on the road now. I don't know if I said anything about this yesterday. It was very good news. I was concerned that my car has 320,000 miles on it. I was concerned that it was belly up. I thought that it threw a timing chain. I thought that it had zero tolerance valves. I just assumed it was gone. When I crank it over, it just seemed like it was cranking pretty fast and didn't seem to have any compression. I just assumed it was bad, and there was some major things there. Well, they finally got it to work on it about a month after I took it to the shop. All it was the number two ignition coil apparently shorted out. I use aftermarket ignition coils, and I've been told not to do that, but they're a third the price, which I don't mind, you know, changing them all the time or keeping one in the car that I can just change. However, if it's going to do other things, I didn't know it could do this. It blew the fuse going to the ECM, which is the electronic control module. It blew the main module. It didn't blow the main module. It blew the fuse to the main module. So it all the ignition coils just went dead because they couldn't get any, there wasn't any power to them. So they were fine. The number two was the only one that was bad. So they changed that one. They put the fuse back in. They put a new fuse in for that, and it runs fine. It's still got other issues. I mean, it's got 320,000 miles on it, but it's working fine. Now the other car, my wife's car, the newer car, it does need a new engine. It's in Toledo, Ohio right now, or Perrysburg, whatever it is, Ohio, near Toledo. And it's getting a new engine put in it by a Volvo dealer. But it's one of those things where that car is going to last another 200,000 miles, probably, or maybe 400,000 miles, if we take care of it properly. The engine's going in, it's only got 30,000 miles on it. And it's a very solid car. They went through the whole thing. They made sure everything else was good on the car before we made that kind of an investment in it. So it's one of those things where we pull up, but we keep the cars clean. We keep them, looking presentable. Pull up and park in somebody's driveway. It's not got oil leaking out of it all over the place, and it doesn't look, offensive to anybody. Now, my truck, on the other hand, it has had some issues. It has had, and it's got some issues now. It's still not running. It was running, and I went to fix it, and now it's not running. I broke it. I was trying to change the crankshaft position indicator sensor, and the thing wouldn't come out, and I tried in the process of trying to get it out of the block. It goes right into the block of the engine. It just broke off, and now it's stuck in there, and I can't get it out. Tried a couple of different things, drilled a hole in there, tried to put a bolt in, tried to put an extractor in, can't get it to turn, can't get it to move, can't get it to do anything. And so now at this point, it is, it's on standby. That truck is on standby. It's, I was just kind of getting to the point where I could get things finished up. The flatbed is starting to come together. Things are starting to happen there. But it's a work in progress. So having said all that, my chai, let's talk about that. This started off with my chai. I don't know how this got. I'm going to go back to this whole thing because what's in my cup? I've got to talk about that. The show's half over and I haven't talked about anything about the show. We have in my cup here this morning, I have, unfortunately, this crisis that I have. I took off yesterday morning. I basically have a 6-day stretch of work. I had a couple days on call, and then I'm actually on this scheduled trip here I'm taking. First day, basically, first morning of the trip here, and I pulled out my little glass bottle that I keep my chai, powdered chai mix in, realizing that I did not fill it up before I left the trip. And it only had enough for one cup, basically, one small cup, or two small cups, one large cup of chai. Well, I went down, got some breakfast. We did my workout, once got some breakfast, and then ended up with my, I got a cup of hot water down there. It's usually better to get a cup of water out of that thing. So I got water, a cup of hot water, brought it up to the room, pulled out my chai mix, and realized that I don't have much chai left. I forgot to fill it up before I left. I saw it in my bag, and the way it looked, I thought, oh yeah, I got my chai in there. But the way it was sitting, apparently it looked like it was pretty full. Didn't even think about putting more in it. So I am sitting here with, I used half of it for this morning's cup. I'll have half of it for tomorrow morning's cup. In fact, tomorrow morning I might just make iced chai, which will be probably better. I'll be in Jacksonville, Florida, which will probably be a little more enjoyable. And I'll have a little more time there. But this morning I have this rather large cup of watered down chai with regular creamer, just half and half creamer, or some kind of just original, whatever kind of creamer it is. And it's actually okay. It still has a taste of chai, but I can tell it's a little bit watered down. Not quite as strong as normal. Probably just as good, though. I mean, probably good for me as normal. And my backup cup is just water because I drank so much tea. I think that's actually where I was going with this. This whole thing about the sweet tea and I drank a lot of tea yesterday and went to call. Yeah, okay. Now the whole story is coming back to me now. So I'm going back to the same. So I'm sorry I haven't talked about politics at all, have I? So let's just go into it. All I have is water from my backup cup. Let's put it that way. Because the Culver's experience yesterday and all that. Okay, settle down now. I just need to take a breath and settle down. The left, their heads are coming off again. And this is, the same thing as, kids in cages. Here we go again. The Alcatraz experience of Florida. They put this deportation center together down in Florida. It's in the middle of Alligator Alley down there. It's a major facility that was built. They haven't changed anything. It's not like they just built this thing from scratch yesterday. They have had this facility there for a long time. It has been used for FEMA. It's been used for all kinds of things. It's had all kinds of multi-purpose type area where there's an airport and all kinds of things, and government facilities have been able to use this thing for a lot of different things. And so they finally opened it or re kind of vamped it. Now they're going to use it as a detention facility for illegal immigrants for the people that they're deporting. So they'll send them there as a kind of a stepping stone to wherever they're going to deport him from. There's an airport right there. It's got everything's all already built in, and it's fully air conditioned, well maintained facility. It's nothing wrong with it, and they're going to multipurpose it for that as well. Now. So, having said all that, this now is inflaming the left because they believe this is terrible. This is inhumane. This kind of thing happened. You know, more people died under the Biden administration because they found out that the borders were open and they could get across the border and they would come here. They would pay the coyotes. They would do all these things. There are probably thousands of bodies littering the deserts between Mexico and the U.S. border that we will never know about. The news media will not be there to talk about what happened to them. There's probably children. They have found a lot of the children who had been had disappeared under the Biden administration. It was estimated there was about 300,000 children missing. That was an estimate. That doesn't include like gotaways and stuff like that. That the people have just been coming across the border without any knowledge at all. The ones that we knew about was about 300,000 children that had fallen off they didn't know where they were. My understanding is they have found about 100,000 of them. And many, many, many of them, most of them, have been found with people that they should be with. In other words, family members or family or their actual parents. Sadly, there are still thousands of kids that have been missing. They don't know where they are. Don't know what has happened to them. It's a tragedy beyond. And where was the media during all this? There was a few times where they found a lot of migrants that were out in a detention facility out in the desert. This is under the Biden administration, where they had cooling fans set up that were not anywhere near any shade. It's out in the worst parts of the desert. Bleachers for them to sit on, places for them to sit that were out in the sun, that were scorching hot. If you'd have sat on them, you'd burned your skin. The only little bit of shade there was, everybody was crowded up shoulder to shoulder to get it, to stay in the shade, to stay out of the sun. That's not very conducive to cooling either. Water bottles strewn everywhere. Of course, they get water and they just drink it, and it was gone. It just you can go through gallons of water in a day in that kind of heat. The inhumaneness of this open border policy and everything that was going on with it, the things that people would do to come to this country. Now, what blows my mind, please someone explain this to me. If you have a chance to, this is the news according to me, but I want to know what you think about what I think. And so you can call this number. It's 812-379-8778. You can leave a message. You can text that number. Or you can call and leave a message, and I will even play your message on the show if you'd like for me to. If you don't want me to, just let me know. 812-379-8778. Feel free to give a call or text message and ask a question or make a comment or just let me know what's something that you want me to cover on the show. Now, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor. However, if you take my advice, that's your problem. Also, in the middle of all this, where was I going with this? I know I had a point. I'm going to take another sip of chai. So, please explain to me. The left hates this country. We are racist, bigots, misogynist, homophobic, basket of deplorables, terrible country, systemic racism, all these horrible things about this country that we just keep hearing about. Oh, this country is so terrible under Donald Trump, I want to leave. Oh, I'm going to move to Ireland, it's so terrible. And yet, we want to keep these poor migrants here to live in this squalor. This terrible country that we have, they'll fight for them to keep ICE from deporting them back to their wonderful utopias that they lived in before they came here. Now, keep in mind, when Donald Trump made some comments about some of the countries that were allowing refugees in from, and we were not allowing people in from, you know, that were educated and had some bit of wealth, had some bit of, you know, something to invest in the country. We were not allowing them in. We were allowing all these other people in, just willy-nilly, just letting people from Haiti or wherever it was come in here. And he made some comments about some of these countries, supposedly, you know, made some comments about them. And of course, having said that, if they of course, no, those places aren't, you know, they aren't that. That's not what those places are. Those places are wonderful places. We should celebrate these. Well, then why do they want to leave? And why don't you go there if it's so great there? If it's such a wonderful place to be, why don't you just go there and remind those people how wonderful it is there? And tell them how terrible America is so the United States is. That way you can keep them from coming to this horrible place of racism and misogyny, all the things that are all these terrible things that they have to put up with here in this country. People are dying to come here. I had we're playing a game one time with a family member. She is no longer, I guess she's been once removed now. We're playing this game, and the question was, you would ask a question, everybody write down their answer, and then you put your answers down in this little thing, and someone would read the answers, and you're supposed to try to find out, to figure out who wrote that answer. So you kind of get to know people based on who, when they, you ask a question like, why is America the greatest country in the world? And, or why is the United States the greatest country in the world? And this person struggled with that. Couldn't answer why. I don't like that question. Because they don't think America is the greatest country in the world. And that's fine if you don't think so. The only reason that she could come up with for that the United States could be considered the greatest country in the world was one name, Barack Obama. That was her reason for the country being the greatest country in the world. Barack Obama. Kind of reminiscent of what Michelle Obama said when she said, "For the first time in my entire adult life, I am proud of my country." For the first time. Because they elected her husband. They elected a black man. So that's for the first time. The country has never done anything else that she should be proud of. We've never done anything else as a nation that she could be proud of. Until they elected Barack Obama. And of course, he did so much for the black community, didn't he? He was amazing what he was able to do for the black community in this country. He did nothing for them, amazingly enough. The interesting thing about this whole thing is, you know, my answer to that question was, because people still want to come here and will give up everything to come to this country. They're lining up to come into this country. We're not lining up to go out. They're lining up to come in, and they're doing whatever they can, crazy things sometimes, to go out or to leave their country and come here. So it's one of those things that you, so I have to ask them, why do you think people want to come here, and why do you want them to stay here? Why are you fighting for their right to stay here if it's such a terrible place to be? And why do you think that they should be able to come here illegally? Why do you think they should just get here to come here and just, they have some kind of right to be here? That's not the way it works. They don't have a right to be here any more than I have a right to be in their home. If they don't invite me into their house, I have no right to be there. And I certainly don't have a right to stay there for a long period of time. It's the same thing. It's a small microcosm, but it's the same thing. So that's my challenging question for the left today is, why do you want these people to stay in this terrible country? We'll talk about that more tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be Freaky Friday. We have I'm going to start doing a new thing. I'll talk about that more tomorrow, but in the meantime, we're going to keep going. Call the show, 812-379-8778. Let me know what you think. In the meantime, I think we're just going to call this the end of the show. That's what we're going to call this. And go from there. But folks, have a great rest of your day, rest of your week, and into the weekend, and have a happy Independence Day tomorrow. But I'm going to have a show for you if you want to hear from me by tomorrow. If you don't, this is another show. But happy Independence Day. We will celebrate the independence of our nation from England. The King. In the meantime, God bless. Take care. Pray for each other. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Have a great rest of your day, folks. Take care. And I'll see you.